Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
My job is driving me crazy.
Sorry.
Do you hate your job or does your job hate you?
Sorry. Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
My career crisis.
I've been a freelancer for much of my working life. I had a staff position in a PR agency for the first 18 months of my career. And then I freelanced for 10 years and I wasn't working in PR. The PR was the first job and it made me realise that I had to follow my dream in radio, hence all the freelancing. I had a couple of other staff jobs, but they never lasted long. It's like I can't stick to one office, one space, one group of people. Places I keep working at keep getting closed down, which I'm not going to take personally. Being the internal freelancer can be freeing. You pick and choose when you work. You get random weekdays off. You can go to the movies at 11 o'clock in the morning if you fancy it on a Tuesday. But in these uncertain times, it is stressful. And with an eye on a non-existent pension pot, I feel like I need to get my shit together, quite frankly, which is why I'm very interested in our guest's crisis today. Welcome to My Career Crisis, the podcast that delves into work-life dramas and how to solve them. I'm Ruth Barnes in an eternal crisis. Welcome, Sue Ahern from Creative People, our careers specialist. Hi, Sue.
Hello.
I thought we could throw the lid off the freelance life today. And I think it's relevant to a lot of people who listen to this podcast, because I think if you're in a crisis, one of the things you're probably a little bit curious about is sending that I quit email and going freelance. Before you do that, what should you be thinking about? When is a good time to do that?
There's a really easy answer to that. There isn't one, right? But I think before we sort of look to the sunny uplands of being a freelance, there is no such thing. I think some people are, in terms of their personality, are more suited to being freelance. I think I'm one of those. I'm a natural freelance. But I worked for a company for 12 years and then decided to leave. And even though it was totally my choice, I really wanted to go, it was very scary. And, you know, not getting that money in your account on the 15th of every month, as I was used to, is really difficult. So if that's what you want to do, then you have to make proper plans. Never do it in a fit of pique. I am certainly someone who could cut off my nose to spite my face. But even I decided, no, I've got to make plans. I've got to test the water. I've got to see if I can do this. And you've got to take a load of things into consideration, like should I be VAT registered? Do I have an accountant? How much money do I need to be earning? All that sort of stuff. And it's not just doing the job, it's getting the job as well. So if you've got lots of freelance contracts, you've got to get them in the first place. I mean, it's lovely working for different employers, but you've got to go out and sell yourself. And if you're not very good at that, or that makes you very uncomfortable, think about it.
My career crisis.
Angie is a successful musician with her band Piney Gear, her musical alias. She's released 6 albums with indie circuit success, both here and in America. Her songs often turn up in the weepy moments on Grey's Anatomy or the hilarious bits of Made in Chelsea. She's a very talented songwriter and writes for ads and commercial projects all the time, which is quite lucrative. She was made redundant from her steady job as a music supervisor last year. She's had jobs, various jobs working in the industry, publishing houses, sync agencies. Nothing seems to have lasted more than a few years. So she is now properly freelance. She has had what I like to call a simultaneously varied, successful and also frustrating career.
Well, Angie, what's the best thing about being a freelancer for you? Let's start on a positive note. What's it enabled you to do?
Well, it's nice to kind of, when I win a job and I'm just winning it for myself. And that's like, hooray, well done me, pat on the back.
And this, you're talking about kind of winning a Hugo Boss fragrance
ad.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Because it's good money.
It's, well, and it's also good for my showreel, and it's good for, as an outward-facing sync person for the music community to know I'm working on cool stuff like that. So that's all really good. And I like, as you mentioned before, the flexibility. Like, if I want to go to Dreamland one Monday, I can. You know, it's kind of like, those are good things. But it also has, you know, its yin and its yang.
I think it's interesting as well, because we're, well, I'm very much someone who would quit and be freelance and was very happy doing that. You weren't. You were made redundant by your last job.
Yeah, I was.
So you were forced into a freelance life.
And then I wasn't really given a legal redundancy pay or anything. So I just had to take the first work I could find.
So you're now dividing your week between a number of different jobs.
Between three jobs and then my freelance on top of that. So I do one day a week at a music supervision company, which is kind of admin-y. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays I work for a music publisher and I delve into their back catalog to find their sync gems, which is quite fun because I listen to music all day, discovering like beautiful old Italian film scores. And I'm tagging them so they can find them when they get briefs in. And when they get briefs in, sometimes I help them, you know, pitch.
And then they can place that music
and
on TV shows
and films and TV and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun. But it is quite, it's like coasting for me. It's very easy. And then on Wednesdays, I'm working on Grand Tour, which is the Jeremy Clarkson show on Amazon. So that's a total fast pace, you know, really hectic, but, you know, kind of fun environment. There are dogs in the office. This pleases me. So, yeah. And then Fridays are my Piney Fridays, and I devote those days to music, or sometimes the admin that comes with doing music, or the meetings and schmoozing that comes with doing music. So, and then sometimes if I get a huge ad brief in or something, I've got to drop everything and just work.
Work for the money.
Work Friday, into the night, work, wake up at 6 a.m. and work, you know, and try and cram it in around the other commitments.
I think this is the kind of ideal example of what it can be like to go freelance, in your case, be forced to go freelance. And then you end up obviously having to work because you need to pay the rent every month. So you're doing jobs that potentially are beneath you, even though they're in a nice industry, they are beneath you. Sue, how do you manage this? Because it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, in Angie's case, she was forced to go freelance, but I think it is relevant that you go freelance, and I certainly did this in my career, thinking that it'll all be fine. And then you end up with these sort of a different hat for different days of the week, which can be exhausting, not often being in the direction you want to be going in. So you've got that kind of eating away at you. It's not great for your kind of overall self-esteem, is it?
No, and I think the interesting phrase you used there was that you were forced to go freelance. So what was the nature of the job that you were doing previously?
It was music supervision. So kind of what I do when I'm not committed to companies in the margins of my time, either writing music bespoke for mainly ads, or finding an existing commercial track that I license for the ads, which involves a lot of briefs and to-ing and fro-ing with publishers, labels, ad agencies, directors, producers.
So what sort of company were you doing that for?
It was just a music supervision company.
Because, first of all, if we just look at the sort of kick, bollock, scramble that is your life at the moment, it's no surprise to me that you are tired.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many different moving bits. And I'm just wondering if you could get a job, not a full-time job, but let's say 3 days a week, you knew what days you were working, because you have actually got a skill which is very valuable and very marketable. And I'm just thinking about, for example, independent television companies who have to copyright, they have to know about copyright and they have to license music for their television programmes. I'm wondering, have you ever made any overtures to companies like that?
I have done some reach outs and sent CVs, and I guess television isn't the world I have the most contacts in. Mm. So I don't know that my email has been prioritized from these people. It's a bit like a stab in the dark sometimes. I have done, I actually got very far down the line with an ad agency about being their in-house. And I did all this work and made this report and how I was going to save them money. And I did, you know, forecasting how much I was going to save them. And I got all the way to like the director of the ad agency. And then they were like, oh, yeah, we're just going to stick to what we do already.
Oh, dear.
I was just like, yeah. Okay. Like that was kind of, and not many agencies have in-house, or they already do have. They either don't want it or they have it already.
Yeah,
but so I've done the reach outs to the ones that have it, and I've attempted to set that up with the place I had the most ins at, you know, and
I think that's the frustration with your industry, isn't
yeah.
it? It's very network-based. It's very connections-based.
Yeah.
What would a good future for you look like on a weekly basis? What would you be doing?
I guess I would like to shirk off this admin responsibility and do my creative work with agencies and stuff. And I did my first feature film. I enjoyed the long form and just maybe expanding that and doing more films and more ads and less admin. And of course, admin is everywhere and will forever need doing. But, you know, I'd rather do it for myself, I guess. So I guess being more autonomous would be nice, rather than piecemealing all these sort of jobs together to make rent, basically.
But that's the key, isn't it? You need a minimum amount of money every week in order to pay your bills.
Yeah.
Right. So what I'm thinking, I mean, and it's very interesting the way you're describing these other jobs. I mean, we've used the word menial. But I don't think that's a really accurate description, because I don't think any job is menial. I think you do what you do to earn your money. That's what you do.
Yeah.
I think also the pitch that you gave to the advertising agency, even though it was incredibly frustrating and you didn't get it and they sort of played you along a bit, at the end that's not wasted, because you've done the work. You know how to pitch now, you know, and it was their bad that they didn't take it up. But I do think if you could regularise the money earning bit to pay your rent. So and it's interesting what you said about, you know, applying to various places, you send a CV. In my experience, CVs will get you so far. But it's about networking. It's about who you know. And sometimes, I mean, it's, you're trying to keep within your safe area. You say, I don't really know that world. Well, then maybe we have to find out a bit more about it. It's not just the music industry that has a need for that. There's loads of other places that have a need. And, you know, we can have a conversation about that.
Thanks, yeah.
Angie, how do you manage your finances?
Oh, God. I mean, I make ends meet because of these admin jobs. And then I get, you know, I do this work for Hugo Boss or Givenchy or whatever, and then that comes in 6 months later or something.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
Because they're like, well, we need our client to pay us before we pay, you know, and I'm like, why is that my problem? But anyway, it is my problem. So then 6 months later, I'll get this money I almost forgot that I earned, and that's like, oh, bonus, hooray. So then I can like buy a pair of shoes or something. But so it's a bit chaotic, but because of the admin, I know I have my bills covered, kind of thing.
Are you managing to save?
I am, because of this weird doing my freelance work in the margins of the commitments. It's like a savings account. So thank you for being bad payers, everybody. yeah, so that's been okay. You know, I'm not like rolling in it, but it gives me a tiny bit of like safety net should one of these admin jobs go away. Like Grand Tour is temporary.
But how about sort of trying to capitalize on what you've done already? So yeah. you are working for a television company that's making Grand Tour.
Hmm.
Okay. Those people within that company will know other people who work in television
yeah.
who might need somebody who can be a music supervisor for them.
Yeah.
And I think you have to put yourself out there. The worst thing that can happen is they say no.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not shy to make that known to my colleagues. But this is the first TV show I've ever worked on. So,
and you're
yeah.
doing a fine job.
Yeah, so far so good, yeah.
So right from, you know, the season will end, but before that ever happens, I think you need to be going, do you know anybody else who needs a temporary,
yeah.
I mean, the really great selling point about being freelance is they don't have to pay you For a long period of time. They pay you for a short period of time. They don't have to pay pension. They don't have to pay all these other things because you take care of that yourself.
Yeah.
So actually that's quite a good prospect, especially for small companies with lots of overheads. So I think now you should be trying to get as many contacts out of those people as possible and then ringing them.
Yeah.
And then you can say, oh, so-and-so gave me your number.
Yeah.
That's a much better way of getting into an organization.
Yeah, I agree. It's who you know. I mean, that's the same with ads. And I'm always kind of, you know, I'm not out to like use people, but I'm always out to meet people and see, oh, can we work together? And
I think everyone's in it for the same reason.
Yeah.
I think in a way, it's not about using anybody.
Yeah.
I think they would be happy to recommend you on because you're good. So you'd then go in and do good work, which would then make them look good.
And it makes their life easier.
You know, Bob recommended Angie and she's great. You know, gold star for Bob. It's that kind of thing. So I don't think it's about using. I think I found it very difficult to be pushy in my career. And the minute you are pushy and you get over that kind of heart beating adrenaline rush where you think, oh, this is so embarrassing. And oh, no, they're just going to say, oh, actually, they've said yes. And it's really good. And in my case, it would be approaching people at schmoozy events, which I know you do quite a lot as well.
Yeah, a bit of that.
And, you know, you have to approach people and sort of swallow your pride and just go, hi, I'm Ruth, and introduce yourself and business card. And I've actually been doing that a lot with Chalk and Blade, my podcast production company, because we're trying to hustle for work all the time. And it's about the person. You get that kind of frosty, weird smile from someone going, what do you want, money? You can just see it on their face, like, oh, go away. And then you say, actually, this is who I am. And this is what I can offer you. And I think people are almost relieved when they then go, oh, yeah, okay, you've got something to offer me.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Email me.
I think that the key to networking, I'm never somebody who can go and work a room. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I feel awkward. But what I can do is talk to people. Mm-hmm. And so invariably, you know, you're at the buffet or something. And if you can just say, I'm Sue Ahern. This is what I do. Who are you? Be interested in the person that you're talking to.
Yeah.
And often at the end of that conversation, somebody will say, what's your email address? But I think if you are asking people to help you, you have got to be very generous and always help other people.
Agreed.
So it's a two-way thing. And that conversation might not come to fruition for 6 months or ever, but people know about you and will contact you. Another thing about that awkwardness about selling yourself, I know a lot of women find that, is, I mean, my famous story about this is, I had, when I was at school, one of my best friends was a model. God knows why she was my best friend. You know, why ever stand next to her? You know, the comparison would be odious. But she was drop-dead gorgeous. And from about 16, she was earning money as a model. And, of course, I went off to college and came back. And then one day she said to me, we were going to go out for some lunch. And she said, I'm going to a casting. So would you like to come? And she said, then we can go for lunch afterwards. So I said, OK. So we went and it was like in an old school hall. And there were four men sitting behind a table. And they had all these bevy of beautiful women who would just walk up and down, walk past. And they would look at them and they would say things in their hearing like, no, the nose is too big. No, wrong hair. And I was outraged on her behalf. And as we got out, I said to her, how can you let them talk about it? And she was completely nonplussed. She said, what on earth are you talking about? And I said, you know, you're like a piece of meat. And she went, look, stop getting all political about it. It's not about me. They don't know me. They're after a look. And do I make that look or not? It's not personal. And it's not, they're not being derogatory. They're just saying I'm not right. She said, you've got to think of yourself as a product. And that's what I do when I go to pitch for business. I'm a product. This is what I do. And I'll show you what I do and what I can do for you. But if you don't need that product or you don't like it, that's absolutely fine. It doesn't make me a bad person.
Yeah.
And it's about thinking, it's about getting your brand right. It's obviously your music making, but what as a music supervisor, for example, do I offer that other people don't? What is my brand? Trying to get that a handle on that.
Yeah, at the moment I haven't really got an online presence because I haven't decided that yet.
Mean as a music supervisor, you don't have it on?
Yeah, Piney's everywhere.
Yeah.
GooglePineyGear.com is there. But my brand as a music supervisor, I mean, I have a LinkedIn that's a little bit, I mean, it's kind of, I've done a lot, you know, but that's kind of it. So I am thinking about that, but I haven't yet identified my brand, so I haven't yet.
How do you do that? How do you identify your brand? What kind of questions do you ask yourself?
Well, what am I providing? So think back about what you've provided in the past to get, because think about what a website does. We didn't have one for my company for ages, because most of our work was word of mouth. But then what was happening was people were saying, and what's your web address? And I just thought, well, I've just talked to you about what we do. But it's like a brand, it's like a stamp of approval. And also, because myself and my business partner were getting on a bit, it made us look like dinosaurs if we didn't have a website. So we have a website now. And when I look at the analytics, loads of people look at it. But I think, who are they? Why do they look at it? Because most of our work is still word of mouth. But I think in the digital age now, that's what you have to have. So you've got to decide, if I looked at your website, you've got to tell me why I should use you. And also, because of your track record, you've got loads of stuff to illustrate what you do.
Yeah.
You know, so you could have a little audio link to a SoundCloud or whatever. This was for a brand I did. This was, I did that. Contact details. It can be actually very simple, but make it easy for me.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be information heavy. In fact, Sue's right. It should be product heavy.
Product heavy.
That lovely Marmite video that you did. That's awesome.
Thanks.
That should be number one.
Yeah.
And like you say, a little link to a nice little SoundCloud playlist or something. Just examples of your work and contact details.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like really these days, less is more. When I visit a website, I don't want to be bombarded massive biography and this. Here's my CV. Here's LinkedIn is pulled through and it's all there. I'm not interested. I just want to hear what I need to hear and how do I get in touch.
But that's the composition bit. So one, you know, bullet points, I compose music for ads and incidental. Here are some examples. But also, I'm your one-stop shop for music supervision.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then some examples of things that you've done, like, for example, Grand Tour.
Yeah.
And that's quite a prestigious brand. So that would look very good on it.
And your first film.
Yeah,
right?
That's not out yet, but it's.
What's holding you back then? Why are you reticent about the kind of web presence as because you'd be Angie, right? You'd be Angela Penhaligon rather than Piney Gear,
right? Yeah, I mean, part of it was my former employers don't want me to use any of my work on my website.
Right? Is that? Well, do they have a leg to stand on there?
I spoke to my lawyer about that.
Right.
And anyway, I don't want to get too into it, but I can use it legally. But there may be repercussions from crazy ex-bosses.
Oh my goodness!
So
I gotta love the music
biz. Is that a can of worms I wish to open? You know, so that's a logistic. But then since I left, I actually have quite a lot of my own, like, that I didn't do whilst under their umbrella. And so I'm like, well, I could just get on with that stuff. And then it's like, can I actually handle more work? Because I'm working nonstop as it is, like a complete wake up early, go to bed late, work. If I start getting more work in, like, how can I cram that in because of this cash flow issue where I don't get paid for 6 months for jobs?
That's frustrating.
It's like, if I could go, oh, well, I know if I take this job on, I'll get paid on, you know, the 30th or even within 2 months. But when it's like 6 months or 8 months or one was a year, you're like, okay, that's like, I can't rely on that, you know?
Well, the other alternative then is, and you made a comment earlier when we were talking about you really like the people where you work.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to keep you in your place for quite a long time.
Yeah, it really does help a lot.
But you could be earning more money somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women, we've spoken about this on the podcast before, they stay because they have a nice time. And I'm not saying that's a bad reason to stay, but don't then moan about the fact that you're not earning enough. If, for example, you looked at, I mean, we mentioned television companies before, but there are other places that might pay a bit more money that might offer you 2 days, and then you'd only have to work 2 days instead of 3 days because for the same amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of when is the time to risk saying to one of those jobs you don't want to be doing, I'm out, actually.
Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, there may be a dip in the finances for the next few months, so you're going to have to dip into the nest egg to help you cover that.
Yeah.
But knowing that it could lead to the work that's really what you're skilled at doing.
More creative.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to stop you, because the admin stuff, I know what that's like. It's you start to really lose a sense of yourself as a professional, and that's dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to podcasts all day, Ruth.
Oh, so. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, there are no crystal balls. And when it comes to making decisions, why are decisions hard? Well, because you have two or three things that you could choose between, which all have advantages and disadvantages. And I think sometimes you just have to decide something and go with it and not regret, you know. So go with that choice. Don't take the safest option sometimes. Take the option that in your gut you think it's okay. I mean, I look back now at some of the decisions I made in the past and I thought, well, if I'd done a pros and cons list, I would never have done that. It just felt right to do it. But I went into it with the attitude of, well, I'm going to make it work. And if it doesn't work, I will have learnt something from it. And I'm not going to go, if only. If only is something that stops people in their tracks. Yeah. So once you commit to something, you just do it full on and you learn from it, even if it goes wrong. You know, I do sense that because of this redundancy issue that you had, that knocked your confidence.
Oh, for sure.
Quite a lot. And and there's a residue there of not being treated fairly.
That's true. Yeah.
I think we're going to have to let that go. There are bastards in the world and you...
I encountered them. Yes. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, no, I think emotionally I feel like I'm letting that go. It's just logistically feels like it's holding me back.
Of course.
Because that is my work and I want to show it because it's good work. And so I guess I'm like, I feel, do I just write that off?
Well, you know? I'm very bullish. Uh-huh. So I'd be tempted. I'd rather... I don't ask for permission. I wait till people try and stop me.
Yeah.
And you've had clearance from a lawyer which says that is your work. And I think you should do it. And
if your ex-boss is burn your house down crazy, like, is that where you want to go? You know, that's, I guess, my concern.
Well, what's the risk? How much could they actually do to you if your lawyer's saying, well, legally?
I mean, like, crazy. I mean, like, crazy stuff. Yeah. One of them's crazy. So that's
you don't really want to risk it, I guess.
It's like, it's more than like a lawsuit. It's like, will I be killed by a hitman? Like, it's more, it's crazy stuff, honestly.
I don't want a homicide on my conscience.
No, exactly.
But as a general rule, I just think, and you've done the right thing, you've checked it with a lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this might be a complete one-off.
Yeah.
But as a general rule for people, I think you should go for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it goes wrong, don't moan about it. Just
sure.
learn
just
from
go,
it.
Go forward.
I think you're probably in a good, because this kind of work is filtering in all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe draw a line
and go
under it.
I guess that stuff doesn't count.
And it maybe is there a way to kind of subtly link to the work without posting it on your website? I don't know.
I have a secret showreel because it used to be a public showreel, and then I got this evil phone call from a crazy person.
So it could even be that, you know, you have the work on your website that is like a sort of shop front, and then you can say, contact me for more, and then
and
you
then
send
you
them a secret showreel.
Here's my showreel.
You know, and I think people in the industry understand these issues. You can, I'm sure you can politely say, look,
the music industry that has
it's all over that there are crazies everywhere. Yeah. So, you know, but there's a way of still showing off about that work, I think.
And you can talk about the type of work you've done and then illustrate it when you know somebody better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
We were looking around on our Twitter feed about this question about freelancing as well. We're at My Career Crisis and we received this. I'm feeling burnt out. I'm either stressed because I'm looking for work or stressed because I have too much. I can never get the balance right. Again, that balance, something that you're struggling with. There is no balance.
Yeah.
You're at it 7 days a week at the moment, really.
Yeah.
How do you do that, Sue, without, you know, burning out?
I think at the beginning, if you're going to start a freelance career, you really have to, you know, the idea that you become a freelance so that you'll get more control over your life is laughable, really, especially at the beginning, because you're trying to build your brand. You're trying to get people to know what you can do. You want to be on their speed dial. And that means you have to work a lot of hours. But after you've started getting some regular customers, I think it's about saying no, which is anathema to most freelancers. But when I mean saying no, what I do is, you know, somebody will ring me and ask me to do something and I will say, I would love to do that for you, but I couldn't do it in the next 2 weeks, but I'd be happy to do it after that. Now, you'd be surprised at how many people go, all right then, because they've used me before, they like me, they want to do some work with me. Okay, it's not that bad. And most people, once you push back, will say that. I mean, if it's an utter emergency, they will say it. But I think most freelancers don't like saying it in case they go, well, I will take my work, never darken my door again. Most of the time, if they know you're a known quantity and they know you deliver and they know you're really good and you've built up a relationship with them, most time pushback is okay.
Yeah. In my world, I feel like I can't say no because there's a million music supervisors desperate for that work. And the ad world moves so quickly. If you said, oh, I can do it in 2 weeks, they'd be like, it's live in 2 weeks, girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, you know, you're like, you've lost the job, and then they found someone else that did the job, and they may never come back. That's the worry.
But that's why I think if you could regularize your paid work, that, you know, as opposed to the freelance work, that would give you more of a buffer.
Yeah.
But I think that the real priority there is to up the amount of money you're getting paid for these days that you do, because it sounds to me like you're being underpaid.
Well, it's a decent day rate. I think it's just...
Isn't it industry standard, or have you set your own rate?
I've set my own rate based on an industry standard. It's not too unfair, but I guess once your taxes and your bills, like, there's nothing much left, you know.
Yeah.
So that's just London, isn't it?
Yes.
Can I ask you, do you have a pension?
No.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. No, I need to look into that. Sue, if you're like us sitting here, you know, 40-year-olds going, we don't have pensions. I mean, you probably are just going to put your head in your hands, aren't you?
No,
what do
I'm
we
not.
Do? What
I mean,
do
I'm 62 and I haven't got a pension.
Okay, good. Feeling better
you
about it.
You do not look 62.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, I have a great face for radio. Yeah, I am. And I have no pension, but I have a house.
Okay. Yeah.
And two children that are going to look after me.
Right, right, right. So if you don't have any of those things, and then you should be stressing about a pension pot, right?
All the financial experts will tell you that, but that's never been my priority. My priority is to live for the moment. I have so many friends. When you get to this age, I have so many friends who are dying, which I know that it's incredibly young, but they get things like cancer. I'm really hoping for a heart attack when I'm about 80. That would really do me.
That's the way to go. You're just putting it out there.
Yeah, because I don't want Alzheimer's. You know, I don't want to be in a home. I don't want to have to rely on my kids. I'm joking about that. So a good heart attack at 80 would polish me off quite nicely. Thank you very much. So, you know. I know you're not, I mean, I don't smoke, but I know you have to have all these health messages, and I'm absolutely not telling you not to do those things. But I just think, you know, when I hear 22-year-olds telling me that they don't have a pension, I just despair.
Okay.
I despair.
Okay.
But please don't listen to me. This is a health warning.
I'm sure there's another podcast out there that will tell you how to go and find your pension pot. It's not this one, though.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, Angie, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Are you really going to go to clown school in Paris?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
Why not?
I think it might up my game performance-wise.
Well, this thank you so much for coming in and sharing your experience of being a freelancer. And if you are thinking and considering being a freelancer, why not come on My Career Crisis and tell us all about it? You can tweet us at My Career Crisis, or you can email info@chalkandblade.com to come and be on the podcast and have a session with Sue Ahern. We'll be back again with another crisis next episode. Do keep reviewing and rating us on iTunes. It means the world. And saying hello on Twitter as well. We've had a few people find us on Twitter and just tell us how much they're enjoying the podcast. Thank you for doing that. It means everything to us. Sob. My Career Crisis is a Chalk and Blade and Rosina Sound production. We're going to play out on a piney track. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Seeing is believing, and I believe that I can see for miles. If everything was easy, then what's the point of waiting all this while? If silence is golden, then I don't have a penny anyway. If something is broken, I'll vow to try and fix a disarray.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.